So we continue this morning in our series on spiritual gifts, and we have this week and two more where we're going to look at a couple of things that I believe are vitally important to understanding and using our gifts. The series that we're in is called Equip 23, and the purpose of our series is to help individuals understand their gifts and how God uses them inside and outside the church. So let's think about where we've been at this point, up to this point. We've talked about what spiritual gifts are. We opened with that. We've looked at each gift, dividing them into categories, serving gifts and speaking gifts. So we've defined the gifts, and we've talked about truths related to those gifts, what they mean practically and in terms of application. And then we've also, last week, we talked a little bit about how do I discover my gift, some different ways we can learn about our giftedness. Well, this week we're going to look at how we use our gifts and the different ways that God has planned for us to use our gifts in different contexts and the different ways He works to use our gifts. And so those are the things that we're going to look at this morning. We want to know not only what our gift is, we also want to know how to use it. Now, next week, we're going to talk about how we respond to those gifts, the issue of obedience. And then we're going to end, as I mentioned last week, we're going to talk about this. We're going to end with the concept of surrender, what it really means to surrender my life to Christ and allow Him to work through me and lead me by His Holy Spirit in using those gifts. But before we get there, let's talk this morning about how we use our spiritual gifts. Some things we need to realize if we want to understand that. The first is this. We need to understand that your gifts are not about you. We've touched on this, but we tend to talk about my gift, and that's okay to describe it that way. I'm not saying you're sinful if you do, but it's also very important that we understand that my gift is, first of all, not really my gift. It's the Holy Spirit working through me. It's Christ's gift that He's giving me, but also it's not about me. Using spiritual gifts, if I'm going to use them right, the right way, it requires the right attitude. And the Spirit doesn't give us these gifts to glorify ourselves. And it's easy, especially if you have a particular gift that puts you in front of people, leading people, it's easy, even unintentionally, to begin to make that gift about you. It's easy to receive glory for whatever you are doing or I am doing. But Jesus taught us about His kingdom, right? And He taught us that His disciples and us that the kingdom of God was different than the kingdom of man. The first will be last, the last will be first. And this is certainly applicable to spiritual gifts, how we use our gifts. It's not about me. My gifts are meant to glorify God and to build up His church. And so it's about God first, and it's about others. And followers of Christ should be identified by obedience to God, love for Christ, love for others, and sacrifice. Jesus set the example of sacrifice, and so we should be willing to sacrifice. So we're going to be in a couple of different chapters this morning, so just kind of jump in and follow along as you can. The verses will be on the screen as well. But I want to begin in Philippians chapter 2. We'll look at Philippians chapter 2, talking about this idea of sacrifice and putting the needs of others above ourselves. Verses 3 and 4 of Philippians 2. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves, putting others above myself, sacrificing my wants, even my needs, for the sake of others. Verse 4. Everyone should look not to his own interests, but rather the interests of others. So that should be our attitude when we are preparing to serve God. When we are preparing to serve in any capacity for the Lord, that should be our attitude. An attitude that says, I'm not looking out for my own interests, I'm looking out for the interests of others. We should serve the Holy Spirit with humility and dependence at recognizing that it's not about me. I could not do it on my own. It is about others. I'm putting others above myself. So we serve with confidence now. It's not that we should lack confidence in our service. We should be confident in God's ability through us. It's not a lack of confidence, but it is with humility that we serve. We live in a society that kind of goes against that, right? We sort of live in a me-first society that says, look out for number one, get ahead, do whatever it takes to achieve. And everything around us kind of pressures us to focus on ourselves. It's easy to become self-centered in our lives. And so the challenge is to take the focus off of self and put the focus on God and put the focus on others. So think about it this way. When serving, we must remain Christ-centered and others-centered or others-focused and not self-centered. We are putting Christ at the center of everything that we do, and we put others above ourselves. And as we exercise our gifts, we need to remember that our gifts don't make us superior to other people. They don't make us better than others. And Paul talks a lot about this. He deals with this issue with the Corinthians, you know, competition over certain gifts, jealousy over certain gifts, envy. And that's not what the purpose is. Each gift, while different, is still vital to God's work through the church for his kingdom. We need to avoid pride and arrogance as we exercise our gifts. Look at Romans 12:3. For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. God is intentional. He gave you the gift that he gave you, or gifts that he gave you for a reason, to accomplish something through you that he does not want to accomplish through anyone else, but through us together corporately to accomplish something greater than we could do on our own. God's intentional, and so we shouldn't be jealous of others' gifts. We should embrace how God wants to work through us and his plan and purpose for our lives. We need to remember that there is something more important than our specific gifts. Gifts are important, and this has all been about discovering our gifts and using our gifts more effectively and more intentionally in the church, but there's something that's more important than the specific gift that you have, or I have, and that's love. Love for God and love for each other. And again, this is something that Paul is addressing with the Corinthians. If you read the book of 1 Corinthians, there's all sorts of things. We're going through that on Wednesday nights in the adult Bible study. And there's all sorts of things that he's dealing with. But he talks about spiritual gifts. And he addresses problems with how people are using their gifts and jealousy over gifts and abusing their gifts. And that the root, the heart of the problem there is there's a lack of love in the Corinthian church. And that's why these gifts are being abused. And we all are you're probably familiar with the love chapter, right? 1 Corinthians 13. And that chapter is right in the middle of Paul addressing these issues in the church. There are divisions. There are problems with how people are using their gifts. A lack of love for each other. And Paul warns the church that love for brothers and sisters in the Lord is way more important than finding and using your gifts. That's important, but if I don't have love for God and love for others, it doesn't matter what my gifting is. I'll never be able to use that gift the way God intends. 1 Corinthians 13, right at the heart of Paul dealing with all of these issues, he says this, if I speak human or angelic tongues but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but I do not have love, I'm nothing. And if I give away all my possessions, and if I give over my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is at the heart of what we do. It should be. Our love for Christ and our love for each other's. I brought some magnets with me this morning. And, you know, the thing about magnets, what do? They attract things, right? I mean, you know, if I had a really strong magnet, I could pick up something very heavy. Metal, of course, but magnets attract things. It was a teacher that taught her students a lesson about magnets and showed how magnets can attract other objects. And she described it to help them understand. She described it as magnets pick things up, right? She used a magnet to pick up some nails and things like that. And so she gives a test a few days later. And one of the questions on the test was this. Describing as if the question was being asked by this device, a magnet, right? And the question said, my name has six letters. It begins with M, and I pick things up. Well, the test, as she's grading them, 50% of the students wrote in mother. That's probably true of you mothers, but that's not the right answer. The correct answer was magnets, because magnets do. They pick things. I mean, it has to be the right thing, but magnets pick things up. And that's what love does for us. It's like a magnet. I mean, the love of Christ is a magnet. But then when the love of Christ is displayed through different people, through his people, it draws people. He uses that to draw people to himself, and it bonds us together. We are bound together by love, and people know that we are followers of Christ by our love for each other, or they should. And here's the other aspect of this. And Mandy collects magnets. Every time we go on a trip, I buy a coffee mug, she buys a magnet. That's what we do. And she's got, and I just brought a few of them. We've got magnets from all over. This one's actually from Ecuador. I've got one from Rock City. We went to Rock City. And these aren't all of hers. I just brought a few. This one is from Gettysburg. We went to Gettysburg, a Gettysburg magnet. This one is from Branson, Missouri, a little sheriff's badge here. We've got one from our trip this past summer, a couple of them. One from Route 66. She got a magnet from Route 66. And one from Bryce Canyon. And got one from the Coca-Cola Museum factory in Atlanta. And then this one is actually from Nepal. We've got a magnet from Nepal. And all of these are on our refrigerator. Not now, because I have them here, but normally they are. And that, you know, it occurs to me that these magnets are from all over the world. I mean, some, Ecuador, Nepal, all over the world. But they all can be used for the same thing. I mean, magnets pick up things. They draw things together. And each of us is like one of these magnets. We're all from different backgrounds, right? We all, some of us from different parts of the world even, all over the country. But God's brought us together. And you know, the thing about magnets, and if you've played with magnets, you know you flip it one way, it repels. You flip it the other way, and it attracts. And so we have that choice, being from different backgrounds with different personalities, different preferences, different ideas about how things should go. We can either repel each other and disagree over what we should or shouldn't do, or we can be drawn together by the love of Christ. We can attract one another and attract others into the fellowship. So that's what Paul's trying to tell the Corinthians. He's saying, you guys are repelling each other. Y'all need to flip it around. Love is at the heart of what we do. Everything that we do, are able to do because Christ first loved us and now has called us to love others in the same way. None of our gifts mean anything unless there's love at the center of what we're doing. We are called to love each other. And remember, Paul said, if I do not have love, I'm nothing. I mean, think about that for a minute. The way that we use our spiritual gifts, we should use them in a way that elevates Christ and builds up his church. But there is a way that we can use our gifts to elevate ourselves. But our spiritual gifts aren't about us. It's not about any of us being in the limelight. Our spiritual gifts are about exalting Christ and building up his church. And we need to pray that as we move forward and putting this into practice, that we are known as people of God who love Christ and love each other. Next, when using our gifts, we need to realize Your gifts are meant to be used in a local community. Now, this is a question that's been asked more in the past 2 years, 3 years almost, than it ever has in my lifetime growing up in church. Is it necessary to be at church to worship God? That's a question that I probably never thought would be asked. Growing up, my parents always had me in church. We just went to church, and you went to church and you worshiped. And I did it when I was younger because that's what I had to do. If I lived in my parents' house, I had to go. And as I grew to love the Lord, I did it because of the importance of it. But this is a question, right? Can I not just sit at home and worship God by myself? And, you know, I recognize there are some people who have no choice, right? There are people who have health issues or are homebound or other reasons that they can't physically get here. I'm not talking about that. But if you are physically able to be at church with other people, the idea that I don't have to gather corporately with God's people is not an idea that's supported in Scripture. It's vital. It's vital to my spiritual growth and my spiritual health, and it's vital to what we're talking about here. How can we use our gifts together to serve the Lord if we're not together as God's people? It's vital that we come together. Look at what the author of Hebrews says to believers in the first century. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, serving together, love for each other, not neglecting to gather together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You know, the author of Hebrews is encouraging people who are dealing with persecution and pressure from the outside, who've been cast out of society. I mean, we're all dealing with pressure of some sort, right? Not persecution like they are, but that could be coming. But he's talking to people who are dealing with all of these pressures, this persecution. And he's saying the best way for you to remain strong is to promote love and encourage good works. And the way that we do that is by gathering together, corporate worship, serving alongside each other, building relationships, encouraging one another. And you can't truly do that unless you're together with God's people. And again, I know there are some who can't. There are some who are homebound. There are some who physically or because of sickness cannot be here. They can still be connected to the church fellowship. And our Deacon Family Ministry, our Helping Hearts Ministry, they do a great job of making sure those folks stay connected. They can be connected through relationships. And they still have a role. They can serve through prayer and encouragement. And many of our folks who can't be here on Sunday do that. But overall, the necessity of us being together, it is so very important if we are truly going to fulfill God's purpose for this church, that it means we come together and use our gifts corporately for Christ. The primary way that we use our gifts is in the body of Christ. And we'll talk about there are other ways, but the gifts were given to build up the church and to glorify Christ. So the primary way we use these gifts is in the body of Christ. Our gifts are not meant to be exercised in isolation. There's truly no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. You might make it for a while, but you will fall if you don't have the encouragement, support, and accountability of your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're not actively involved in a church fellowship, you cannot properly use your spiritual gifts the way God intends. It's just not possible. The body of Christ needs every member. Now, Paul talks a good deal about this in 1 Corinthians 12. And remember, that's just before the love chapter, right? He's dealing with all of these issues in the Corinthian church, divisions in the Corinthian church, a lack of love, misuse of gifts. And he deals with how this is supposed to work in the body of Christ, spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. Look at verse 14 through 24. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if an ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor. And our unrespectable parts are treated with greater respect, which our respectable parts do not need. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable. Every part of the body is important. Every gift matters. And I brought a chess/checkerboard today. And these pieces are small, but I set up one side with checkers pieces and one side with chess pieces. Now, the thing about checkers is all the pieces are the same, right? Same size, different colors depending on which team you're on or which side you're on, but they're the same size and they all move in the same direction, right? There's only so many ways you can move a checker. It's uniform. That's just the way the game is played. Chess, on the other hand, which I don't really know how to play. I know a little bit, but here's what I do know. All the pieces, for the most part, are different. You know, the pawns are all the same, but we'll just consider them unimportant. But all the pieces are different and can move differently, right? Depending on what it is. I mean, the king can move a certain way. The queen can move a certain way. Knights, rooks, bishops, pawns, they all, and then depending on which piece, some of them can move multiple ways. Some of them can only move one way or in different directions, diagonal, front, back, all over the board. It just depends on the piece, right? They're all different, but joking about the pawns because they are all important, right? I mean, you really don't want to lose any. You will, but you don't. The idea is that you don't. But they all move different. Now, here's the point. A lot of people look at church and they think we're like the checkers. We're all supposed to be the same. We're all supposed to do the same thing, function the same, have the same ideas. But that's not how God designed the church. He uses the human body as an analogy. Paul does. And the idea that each part of your body is different yet vitally important is what he's trying to teach about the church. Each piece is different. We're going to move different. We're going to think different. We've got different gifts. And even if we have the same gift, it's going to function different in your life than it is in my life. Because God created us unique and different, and he wants to use all of those differences that he created in us to accomplish something unique and different through you and through us corporately together as his church. You know, I read somewhere, and it's always dangerous when I don't do my research, but I think it's true. I read it on the internet. It has to be true. I read just yesterday that your pinky carries the most strength in your hand. Okay, thank you. I'll take that as a confirmation. And I got to thinking about that. I never thought about that until I read that, and then I thought, you know what? You know, there's a lot grabbing something. There's a lot of strength in the smallest finger on your hand. There's a lot of strength in that. It doesn't matter what part you play in the church. You are a vital. You're not just strong. Your part is vital to the functioning of this church. That's the way God designed his church. And he wants us all to fulfill our roles. We use our gifts to serve others. And then we are served by others in the context of the church. We need each other. It's vital that we be together. Amen. It's vital that we serve together. If we truly want to fulfill God's purpose for this church and for his kingdom. But that's not the only way. We use our gifts in a local body of believers, but that's not the only way. Your gifts are also meant to be used in your daily life. Yes, the church is the primary way God uses your gifts and my gifts, but he also gives us these gifts to use as we go about our daily lives. We use them outside of the walls of the church. We don't just use our gifts on Sunday, so to speak, or whenever we're together with God's people. We do, but that's not all. Most of the work that you do for Christ's kingdom is going to happen outside the walls of these church, maybe together with other believers, but also on your own and in your family. And maybe you're a teacher, and you use your gift of teaching to teach your class, but to do it with the love of Christ and as an example for Christ. Maybe you're a parent raising your kids to know the Lord and to serve the Lord, using your gift of teaching to do that, right? I mean, maybe you're someone who makes a repair in the home of a widow, or someone who's in need who can't do it themselves or pay for it themselves, using your gift of helps and service to help that person, to serve that person with the love of Christ. I mean, think about all the conversations that we have. Not as much voice-to-voice anymore, but we do that still, right? Through text, through emails. Maybe some of you still write letters, novel idea. Through communications that we have, where we're using our gift of encouragement, maybe. Or discipleship, using teaching and exhortation. I mean, the list goes on. There are many different ways. Hopefully you get the idea. If you really think about it, there are different opportunities that God gives us every day to use our gifts as individuals going out as missionaries for the kingdom of God, whether it's in our family, in our place of business, whether it's just a conversation we're having over coffee or through text or email or whatever the case may be. There are various ways that God allows us to use our gifts, and you don't have to be in a large audience or an official role to use your gift. Maybe you have the gift of teaching, you don't have a class to teach. Well, start a Bible study in your home. Gather a few friends. Make sure you're discipling a younger believer. You can use your gift of teaching there. You don't have to have an audience to use the gift that God has given you. Maybe you're a leader and you don't have a group to lead. Well, there might be somebody in your life that needs a project done at their house, someone in need. And they're just waiting for somebody to come along and organize that and get that taken care of. You could lead that project and nobody know anything about it and get something done using your gift of leadership or administration, gathering those resources for that or whatever. I mean, there are opportunities that God gives us if we will look for them. And this is the type of ministry that we would probably call the one another ministry, where we are serving each other, one another. These are small, one-on-one, quiet acts that don't seem flashy, but are very much a part of the work of Christ. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you were called to be free, brothers and sisters. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but to serve one another through love." And in Acts, we read that the church ministry went from house to house to house, right? There was the corporate gathering, but there was ministry from house to house to house. And so that's why it's so important that if we are plugged into a church fellowship, that we also be plugged into those smaller groups where we build relationships with each other, because that's where we learn each other's needs. We really, truly share life with each other through a connection group or another small group Bible study. We build relationships, and then I learn about your needs, you learn about my needs, and I'll have opportunities to meet those needs, maybe in private. Maybe it needs to be in private because of the nature of that need. It doesn't need to be a church-wide thing. But we minister to each other one-on-one. We use our gifts corporately, but we also use our gifts on our own, outside of the walls of the church, one-on-one, personally. So if you want to use your gifts and don't know where to start, just look around. Ask God to open your eyes to needs, to people around you. Another thing to think about as we explore how to use our gifts, your gifts are meant to be used on mission with others. Now, we understand our gifts are not about us. We use our gifts corporately, and there are different ways to do that in the church, and with our Equip 23 ministry projects that we're doing, you're going to have an opportunity to plug in and use your gift along with others And the ministry has to be shared or it won't work. And so we're all going to use our gifts to serve and accomplish these things that we believe God's leading us to do. But you're also going to have opportunities in your daily life to use those gifts, right? Outside the walls of the church, one-on-one, not in a structured, planned, corporate setting. But then we also need to think about, we have the corporate body of Christ, but there are also times where we go on mission to use our gifts to the church, the body of Christ, universally. I mean, we are members of the local body of Christ, and there are examples of this all over the New Testament. I mean, God uses us to minister to the church within the body, and the church, that's those who are just believers, who may not be a member of this church, but who are a member of the body of Christ universal because of their faith in Christ, and they have been baptized into the faith around the world. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:2. To the church of God at Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ, called as saints, with those in every place who call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. So look at that verse, okay? There is the church at Corinth, the local church, right? And so there is the precedent to be involved in a local church. But then he goes on, he's addressing this to the church at Corinth, but then with those in every place who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is the local church, but then there is the body of Christ around the world. And there are times, what this means is that God is going to give us opportunities to use our gifts in the local body, right? And we're doing that. We're working on that here, okay? But then there are also times where he gives us the opportunity to use our gifts alongside the body of Christ universal. We see in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 4, Paul raises money for the church in Jerusalem. He's writing to the Corinthians, raising money for the church in Jerusalem. Now, about the collection of the saints, he says, or for the saints, do the same as I instructed the Galatian churches. On the first day of the week, each of you is to set something aside and save in keeping with how he is prospering, so that no collections will need to be made when I come. When I arrive, I will send with letters those who you recommend to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it is suitable for me to go as well, they will travel with me. So he's encouraging, Paul is, the churches to minister to the church in Jerusalem. The Great Commission is accomplished as we go out individually on mission for Christ, as we go out corporately as the local body of Christ, and then as we cooperate with other fellowships, with other churches around the world, the body of Christ. And we see these opportunities, and what this accomplishes is that different believers pooling resources, God using different believers to accomplish kingdom work around the world. I mean, we see these opportunities in our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, around the world, and we participate in these things here, right? I mean, you know, whether it's Downtown Rescue or Loads of Love, local missions efforts, or being a goer or sender to Ecuador or high altitude mission around the world. I mean, maybe anybody here ever attended a Christian conference before? Anybody? A lot of people, right? Well, guess what? You participated in this because somebody who's not a member of this church, who's a follower of Christ, used what they had learned to teach you, to pour into you so that you could grow spiritually. Maybe you've taught in a conference. That's one of the ways that we come together across church boundaries, right? I mean, if you've ever read a book that was written by someone you don't know personally, a Christian author that encouraged you to grow spiritually or made an impact on you spiritually, you've participated in this. I mean, God uses different people's gifts, yes, in the context of the church and to build up that church, but he also uses our gifts as we go on mission around the world to the ends of the earth. And we all have a part in that, either going, sending, or participating in cooperation with other believers to serve the Lord. So think about how you can serve God in this way. It may begin by volunteering at one of these local missions efforts that we have. It may be that God's calling you to be a goer, or just, not just, but a sender, staying here supporting those that are going on mission this summer. It may be that God's calling you to participate in some other capacity, in a parachurch ministry or something like that, outside the walls of the church, cooperating with other believers. Like everything else, though, with all of this, our gifts don't exist in a vacuum. I mean, we are meant to cooperate with other believers using our gifts. But like everything else, if we are going to really learn how to use our gifts, practice makes perfect. We'll never truly learn our gifts until we put them into practice. We can learn all about them and know all the facts. We can look at the examples of how God's used different gifts, but until we really practice it, we'll never truly learn. And we're going to begin putting those gifts into practice together next week as we break up into these Equip 23 groups and accomplish these tasks that we believe God is leading us to accomplish. You know, Paul uses athletics as an analogy, and the work and the discipline and the practice that it takes to perfect whatever sport, whatever athletic competition you're competing in. A true athlete shows discipline and works and practices. 1 Timothy 4:8, he said, "For the training of the body has limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." We should be dedicated to physical exercise and growth, right? We should take care of ourselves physically, but we should also be dedicated to spiritual exercise and growth and growing in our faith and growing spiritually and exercising our gifts through service of the Lord. That's how we learn. That's how we truly learn our gifts. We cannot become spiritually lazy and just kind of take a couch potato approach to our spirituality. Because if we do, we will not grow spiritually. You know, a few things that I want to focus on before we finish today. Few thoughts to leave you with. If you want to begin to exercise your gifts and growth, here are two pieces of advice. First, spend time studying the Word of God. I mean, learn all you can about who God is. Allow Him to use His Word to go down deep, to change you from the inside out, and to prepare you for His service. God has given us, He has revealed Himself to us through His Word, the living and active Word of God. Spend time studying the Word of God. 1 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the word of truth. Well, I don't have the gift of teaching, but you're still called a disciple, right? I need to know the word of God. If I'm going to use my gifts, I have to know what God has to say about my gift and about what He's doing in the world. And I have to allow Him to do the work that He wants to do in my life. And He uses His word to do that. Spend time studying the word of God. And then be intentional about growing in your gifting. It's not going to just happen. We've learned a lot, hopefully, over the past few weeks. We've got a few weeks left. There's more to learn. But we can spend this 7-week sermon series, 8 weeks on Sunday night, learning everything that there is to know about spiritual gifts. But unless you and I intentionally make a decision to grow in our area of gifting, it will never happen. Unless I make a decision to put my gift into practice, I'll never truly learn my spiritual giftedness. Read books about your gift. Participate in these Equip 23 ministry groups that we're doing. Maybe God may lead you to seek further training in your area of giftedness, to pursue a different ministry or a specific ministry. But we have to be intentional about it. Think about it this way, all right? I've got a couple of sheets of paper here. I'm not an expert paper airplane maker, but I went to the Museum of Flight in Birmingham, and they taught us how to make a paper airplane when I was a lot younger than I am now. And that's the way I've always made a paper airplane. I know people that can make paper airplanes much better than me, but I learned how to make a paper airplane, and it hopefully flies pretty good. We're going to find out. I also have just a sheet of paper that I have done nothing to. Now, what's the difference here? One of them, I'm going to act like it took a long time. I did it right before service, Sunday school this morning, okay? But one of them, I took time back behind here in the hallway to fold this. It took a few minutes. I had to be intentional about it and do it the way I had learned. But I had to learn how to do it, right? I mean, somebody had to teach me how to do it. I had to put it into practice. I put time and energy into making this paper airplane. And I did it for this illustration, but I did it hopefully so that it will fly. This one I have done nothing with, okay? So we're going to test it here. Andy, you're going to be my target. I'll probably end up hitting Josh over here. Be ready, Josh. All right, we're going to try this one first. Are you ready? Okay, a few feet, all right? Y'all might want to be ready too, okay? I got everybody back there ready to go. You ready, Andy? Here we go. Much better, right? And I hit my target too. So the time and the effort and the energy paid off. Now, some of you could probably do a better job, and maybe you can show me a different way to make a paper airplane. But the results were pretty clear. This one went a couple of feet, and had that one not hit Annie, it might have even gone a few more feet. It actually flew. It fulfilled the purpose that is the purpose of a paper airplane, to annoy somebody, to fly. But the point is clear, I hope. If I don't put the time and effort into anything that I attempt to do, if I'm not intentional about what I do, then I won't get the results that I need. And God gives us these gifts. They're supernatural. He works through us. And He gives us strength. He will provide the resources, but He's not going to force us to use them. And that's part of this whole free will thing that He created us with. He will gift us. He will fill us with His Spirit. But He asks us, expects us to choose to follow Him and to be intentional about using and growing in those gifts. There is a part we have in this. He will not force Himself on us, be it in salvation or in spiritual growth. He will allow us to make the decision to either grow or not grow, to pursue Him or not pursue Him, to grow in our area of giftedness or not. There's work involved, and there's commitment involved. There's submission involved. There's dedication. There's obedience, which we'll talk about next week. Surrender, which we'll end on in this series. But there is daily practice that goes into using our gifts. So the question for all of us is, are we willing to put in the work necessary? Are we willing to commit ourselves in this way to grow in our gifts? Because remember, and I'll end with this, spiritual gifts are like muscles. If you want them to grow, you have to exercise them. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for gifting us as You have. None of us deserve the gifts that You've given us. None of us deserve to be a part of Your family. And we certainly cannot exercise these gifts on our own. They're not truly our gifts. They're Your gifts working through us. We know that we depend on You, that we need You, that we desperately need Your strength. But we also know that we have a part in this, that You expect commitment. You expect work and dedication on our part to exercise and use the gifts that You've given us. But Lord, we know that we cannot know our gifts. We realize that it's impossible unless we know You personally as Lord and Savior. Unless, Jesus, we've allowed You to become Lord of our lives. Jesus, You paid the price for our sins on the cross. You were raised 3 days later to conquer death, and You offer us the gift of salvation. If we confess our sins and invite You into our lives, we can be saved. And when we are, You fill us with Your Spirit, and You also gift us for service. And so I pray that if there's somebody here today who doesn't know You as Lord and Savior, that they would make that decision today, the most important decision they will ever make in their lives. For those of us who know You, Lord, I pray that we would spend these next few moments, and even as we leave here, as we continue about our daily lives, that we would really, Holy Spirit, allow You to search our hearts and show us where we need to improve in pursuing and exercising and growing in our areas of giftedness. Lord, just speak to us and show us What is it that we need to do? Is it an issue of submission? Is it obedience? Is it that we're just not exercising? We're not putting the time in? Are we not growing in our knowledge of you so that we can understand you and the gifts that you've given us better? What is it, Lord? What is it that we need to do individually? Just speak to each of us now. Show us how to respond to your word. And may we be obedient to do just that, to respond as you would have us respond. But we thank you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand for our time of commitment?